Good evening. This is Dan, and it is February the 19th, 2019. And yeah, it's a little warmer in Seattle right now. When I say a little warmer, it's not, you know, freezing. They say a major winter storm is going to hit the East Coast here soon. So to all of you who might listen on the East Coast, I hope you stay warm, avoid the snow. If you hear me drinking something, it's coffee. Of course, it would be wonderful if it was a beer, but I don't currently have the money to buy beer. And you cannot buy beer with your food stamp EBT Quest card. Now, I mention this because it's related to tonight's podcast. Tonight's podcast has to do with the subject of trying to be an anarchist in America in 2019. And just so you know, I didn't officially, personally accept that that's what I was until a couple of years ago. About 2 years ago, really. And it's been a kind of a shaky process. If you listen to my podcast, you'll recognize this. I've had to do what so many of us have to do who hold principles. One of the things I've discovered about anarchism is it's a lot like Christianity in the following sense. The more seriously you take your principles, the more difficult it is to operate in America today. If you don't give a fuck, if you have no principles, America actually still works as kind of a cash machine. For those who lack principles, for those who don't give a fuck, you can still make a living. But for those of us who wince a little when we read an article about, you know, I think the state of Virginia, but some state allowing what looks to be post-birth abortions, for those of us who wince a little when we hear stories of old people injecting themselves with the blood of babies or young people, and in our, you know, in our own minds, it seems a lot like just old people eating babies. And it conjures up that painting by Goya, you know, called Saturn. If you've never seen the painting Saturn by Goya, Goya was an artist, late 18th century, early 19th century, contemporaneous to the French Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars. And I think he was, you know, Spanish, but I could be wrong. He could have been something else. But yeah, Saturn. Saturn eating its children. That's what I think about when I think about old people injecting themselves with blood so they can live longer. But it kind of makes sense. I mean, if you're a soulless fuck and you have no faith in God, you're an atheist, or worse than that, you might worship Satan. I have no idea. And you listen to Ray Kurzweil talk about how if you can just live a few more decades, Ray will give you a nanite pill that will allow you to live forever, then you've chosen your God, and the only thing that prevents you from reaching the state of eternal bliss with your God is enough baby's blood to keep you alive. So I don't know. If you're like me, and you happen to be a Christian, forget the anarchism for a second, and you do take your principles seriously, and you admit to yourself that you're a sinner. I admit I'm a sinner every day. But you wake up and you find out that the world of sin got into a hyperlight spaceship and transcended even your darkest imagination. And believe me, if you've read anything I've written, I have a pretty dark imagination. If you've listened to my podcast, I have a pretty dark imagination. And the world of sin in America today is many, many thousands of light years ahead. So anarchism, like Christianity, has this one defect. It doesn't fit with America, the United States of America we live in. And so like most people, and I suppose this is true of most ages, most times, most epochs, I try to find a way to exist given those facts. I use the analogy that America is an open-air prison, and it really is. You know, one of the things about prisons, and this has always been kind of true, is that there's even within the prison, amongst the prisoners, there are levels. You know, there's a concept in the American prison system, and I still think it exists, of the trustee. And the trustee is the person that can drive a van or can, you know, maybe go down the street to the store or potentially gets the authority to do some admin work. The trustee has extra rights and extra privileges given to the trustee by, you know, by the warden, by the system. And so some of us in America are like trustees. We have a little more freedom than the rest, and we have obligations because of it, you know. We are expected to do things. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but one of these days, someone will say, "Well, gee, Bob, we've been letting you go down the street to buy your cigarettes, so we're going to need you to do some things, and it may not make you happy. In fact, you might be disgusted by it, but that's why you're a trustee, you fuck." So that's one of the ways I deal with America the way it is today, is I admit to myself, I'm in a prison. If I want to have more stuff, I have to be willing to do more shit that would, you know, probably bring my, well, it just brings me shame, but I have to be willing to do more things that violate my principles. For example, I am not a big fan of turning food, water, and shelter into something that that would be an investment scheme. I think that people need food, they need water, and they need shelter. So if you turn any one of those things into a massive pyramid investment scheme, I think you're an evil piece of shit. I don't fucking care if you tell me that the reason why you're flipping houses is to pay for your retirement. Your act of doing this and participating in a form of economics that guarantees homelessness and frankly guarantees a lopsided economy, which means not everybody can live just working construction, doing contract work, and selling homes to each other. You have to be a fucking moron to think you can build a dynamic economy on everybody selling shit to each other and a Home Depot on every corner. Are you fucking stupid? But a lot of people, they don't give a fuck because, hey, if they're willing to participate, they get a few more privileges. They get to believe that that home of theirs is going to be how they get to retire. So as an anarchist, I find myself in these quandaries. Last week, I did something I never thought I would do. I went ahead and got a food stamp card, okay? Now, before I go too deep, if you know that I've been single for much of my life and that I don't have any kids, so I've never had any write-offs of any sort. I've never had a mortgage, so I never had a mortgage write-off. I have been paying up the butt for taxes my entire fucking adult life, whether in the army or out of the army, period. Even in years where I don't make a lot of money. Last year, I didn't make a lot of money. I didn't work the whole year. But even last year, I paid my fucking, you know, pennies and shekels to the government. So, yeah, about a week ago, I went ahead and got a food stamp card. Well, here's what you get with a food stamp card. You get a guaranteed, I think, 6 months, and at 3 months, there's a review of paperwork. This is what the lady told me. You get $192 a month. Now, I'll tell you something. That breaks down to, in the simple mathematics of reality, less than 10 bucks a day. So if you're really smart and you don't make any mistakes, $192 can go a little ways. I mean, I kind of fucked up the first iteration. I had 120 bucks, you know, because I got in late for the month. And I fucked it up. I did the stupid things that you shouldn't do. I bought crap I shouldn't eat, and I'm paying for it, but that's okay. I hadn't had a lot of sugar in a while, so I guess I went sugar crazy. But yeah, 192. And yeah, if I'm smart and I buy lots of rice and lots of beans and make really wise decisions and continue to go to the food bank, I can make that work. Hell, I made most of, you know, the last few months work off of the food bank, and that's I'm not proud of it, I'm not ashamed of it. Today I filled out my tax return. Now, in theory, and I'm going to find out in 2 to 3 weeks if the theory proves out, in theory, I'm supposed to get back almost $3,000. And the reason why is because I didn't work the whole year, but because of the quote-unquote perceived income or whatever, they took out a lot more money, and so I ended up overpaying. So for the time I didn't work, that's, you know, that's what sort of balances out. So in theory, in a couple weeks, I'm going to get close to $3,000 in taxes back. And that'll be welcome because that'll allow me to pay rent next month, the month after, and have some extra money. It'll also buy me more time to find another job, which I haven't given up on it. I mean, I'm still trying to find someplace. And given my background, the someplace will probably be as a contractor at Microsoft or some other shithole, working for people that disgust me, writing codes and solutions to problems that people, for the most part, don't give a fuck about. I mean, whatever software engineering is at this point, it isn't what people think it is. There might be some places where people are doing some cool stuff. And it's not the crypto world, oh, by the way. Let's just table that discussion for now. But there might be some places where people are doing cool stuff that isn't dehumanizing. But I really don't know where that is. Even the people who are doing the really cool stuff in artificial intelligence, biomorphic computing, knowledge discovery, data mining, and whatnot, they're often doing this work for industries like the defense industry, like the security industry, like the healthcare industry. I did data mining work for the healthcare industry. A long time ago, I used Markov models to make predictions about underpayments from insurance companies. I know that sounds exciting. It's not, right? So yeah, I want to work and I'm looking for a job. And if I can get that work, that's great. It just buys me more time. But I really don't see any future in it beyond just paying for rent and food and another day, another week, another month, another year of existence. So when I think about my own anarchism and I think about this, I get distressed a little, or at least it makes me a bit introspective or somber. I mean, here I am getting fucked by the government. The government comes up to me, punches me in my stomach, takes money for years and years and years. And then every year, April the 15th, right, we go and we beg to get some of our money back. And I know some of you have kids and mortgages. So you say, Dan, I don't pay any taxes, which is technically a lie, because the way they tax you isn't just through the IRS. They also tax you by debasing the money, you know. The dollar itself has lost, I think, 99% of its value in a century. So wake up, motherfucker. You're getting taxed. I know you think you're not being taxed because, for whatever reason, maybe fluoridated water, most likely denial, you just don't want to think about it. But when it becomes more difficult to pay that medical bill, guess what? That's because the dollars you're using are pretty much worth less than they used to be. And yeah, the healthcare system's a crony fuck, and boy, do they overcharge. But the money's also not worth as much as it used to be. And so even the people who think they're not being taxed are being taxed. But yeah, every April, right, is a ceremony. We go to the bully. We go to the magical crocodile, and we say, Crocodile, I threw you 10 pounds of red meat this year. Can I get back half of that rotten meat? It's a ritual. It's ridiculous. You know, as an anarchist, I'm not a big fan of government, but there are better ways to tax people, less invasive ways. If we actually gave a fuck about the Bill of Rights, we wouldn't have an income tax. Income taxes are deeply invasive. We would have a sales tax. And you'd say, well, sales taxes are regressive, Dan. Oh, you're a fucking moron. There's nothing more regressive than taxing work. If you're going to tax, and I think taxes are bullshit, but if you're going to tax people, don't tax work. Don't tax the thing that actually allows people to produce more, that actually creates something called deflation. And oh, by the way, deflation is actually a good thing. How they've convinced most Americans that price increases are good, I have no idea, except, like I said, denial, fluoridated water, you know, Creutzfeldt-Yakov, who knows? But this idea that inflation is good for you, this is not reality. The reality is, if they didn't tax work, we would probably have a lot more deflation in real terms, more productivity, a lot less unemployment, actually, because people would have more money to hire workers. They could take bigger risks. They could invest. So this argument that inflation is good is really stupid, but a lot of Americans believe it. And so, yes, you're getting taxed, even if you have a mortgage write-off, even if you have, you know, six or seven kids, and you say, Dan, I don't have to pay taxes. Listen, you stupid fuck. One way or another, you're paying taxes. Now, you could come back and say, well, Dan, don't you, you know, want to pay for your food stamps? Well, here's the deal. If I get 6 months worth of food stamps, which will be pretty much the only time I've ever gone to the government for anything, okay? That's going to work out to roughly, what, almost $1,200, you know, more than 1,000, less than 1,200. Folks, in real terms, over the years in taxes, I've given to the government, and oh, by the way, I include Social Security because I'm never going to see that shit. I've given to the government in total hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I'm not even special. There are people who have been consistently providing the government with welfare from their slave work for the last 20 or 30 years. And I can promise you that their numbers might reach the millions. And these are folks who, I don't know, 6 months from now, a year from now, might realize that their mortgage is underwater and they might say to themselves, gee, I wish I could have some of that money back, but it's too fucking late. The crocodile doesn't give anything back. Crocodiles die. They do die. But crocodiles don't give it back. It's not going to cut a pound of flesh out of itself and say, here, eat from the rancid crocodile. And who would want to do that anyways? I'm just drinking some coffee here. Drinking some coffee because I have some. I hadn't really had a lot of consistent coffee in a while, and so I guess it's kind of created a spiky behavior on my part. I think I've had 3 cups today, which may not seem like a lot, but it's fairly strong coffee. But yeah. So today I filled out my fucking tax return, and if I'm really lucky, and the government, you know, is what it is and decides to just pay me and not be an asshole, then I might be able to pay for next month's rent, and I might be able to pay for the following month's rent, and that'll buy me enough time, I think, to get another stupid job working for a crony company doing stupid work that will get, you know, keep me alive. And I'm sorry I'm not happier about it. I'm sorry I'm not more excited. And while I'm doing that, I'll be paying taxes, both in terms of the money that gets debased and the money that gets stolen. So you could say, well, Dan, what about Social Security and Medicare? I'd say, fuck you. I don't expect to see any Social Security. And as far as the healthcare system goes, if I'm hit by a car or something and they decide to revive me, fine, that's on them. But as far as going to the doctor, I haven't seen a doctor in years. I don't intend to. If someone were to tell me right now I had cancer, I don't think I'd give a fuck. What are you going to tell me? I have cancer in America in 2019. Most of the people I know in the real world are struggling or just above the water level. And one major economic event would send them right down the tubes. They're not worried about cancer. They're worried about how they're going to survive 6 months if they lose their job. So no, I don't think about Social Security. And you say, well, what about defense spending, Dan? What about that? Well, let's think about that one for a second. I was in the military, and I was never in combat, but the brief time I was on active duty, I saw enough bullshit, including September Madness, which happens every year at the end of the fiscal year, when you're told to spend money because if you don't spend whatever money's left, you won't get the same or more. Which means, if you don't know this, the federal government has a built-in incentive to waste money, okay? Anyone that's worked for the feds and opened up one of those catalogs every September and has been told by their fucking boss, well, we need to spend our budget because if we don't spend our budget, we won't get more. Listen, they all know the fucking reality. But what makes it worse is that when we were more or less pinching pennies at 3rd Brigade Combat Team in the late 90s, not knowing if we could replace the engine packs on the M1s, I would later find out that there were trillions upon trillions upon trillions missing. So please tell me again about my money paying for our defense. And what's even more important, when I think about defense in America, if I put on my old minarchist hat, my old libertarian small government Republican hat, I used to think it was about defending liberty, defending freedom. Not so much about going to the airport and having some asshole who has barely a GED shoving a poker up my a-hole. I never really conceived that was about defending liberty. It was more about actually having things like free speech, freedom of association, the right to defend yourself with a firearm. And that's not even the complete fucking list. Protections against illegal search and seizure, illegal searches, period. These are things that no longer exist for many Americans. And if push comes to shove, they simply won't exist. So yeah, the Bill of Rights has kind of gone down the toilet. It reminds me of that really shitty quote. I forget the Supreme Court justice. I think it was a Supreme Court justice who said, well, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. Tell that to the motherfuckers whose lives are being obliterated by their government because they're part of that fucking suicide pact, you fuck. Actually, he's kind of right. The Constitution isn't a suicide pact. It's a death pact. It's a cult. But as far as freedom goes, yeah, you want to tell me to pay for the national defense and then tell me we're going to build new micro nukes that we can put on little missiles a few hundred miles from Moscow so that we can essentially put the hair trigger World War III back on? Yeah, go fuck yourself, you scumbag. National fucking defense. So tell me, what exactly am I paying for? Well, the answer is, in the open-air prison that is America, whether you're an anarchist or not, you're paying for your enslavement. You're paying for your control. You're paying so that basically, the government, the magical crocodile, has resources to treat you like a piece of shit. That's what you're paying for. And yet in all this, I am a human being. I have desires. I'm not quite dead yet. I have days, and I'll admit this, I have days where I pray to the Lord in heaven just to give me a heart attack. That way I don't have to kill myself. I can simply blink out. Give me a heart attack. Give me a heart attack while I sleep. A stroke, an aneurysm, knock me out. But on the days that I still want to live, I do try to figure out a way through this. And part of it is accepting that my situation is not that radically different from a lot of people. That in that sense, I am not special. Neither are you. If you're listening to me, you are likely part of a very small demographic because there are people with money who would listen to me and not at all understand what I'm talking about, you know, and get angry because I question, yeah, I do question how people become wealthy in America today. Do I think it's possible to become wealthy in an ethical way? Maybe. But really, if you're becoming wealthy in the United States today, which means if you're a trustee in our prison that keeps going up and up and up the ladder to the point that you got all kinds of special fucking privileges, I do question what you're being asked to do. I do question what kind of bullshit you're covering up. I do wonder what you're doing to your fellow man. You know, we can joke about things like old people injecting themselves with blood, but it's really not a fucking joke. If you have a soul, if you, and I don't care if you're a Christian, if you just have a fucking soul, you can't really read something like that and say to yourself, well, this is normal. This is okay. It's not okay. It's not even remotely within the category of everything is all right. It's not. So how do you navigate that? Part of it, like I said, is accepting that a lot of people are in the same boat. Part of it is also, and I think this works as much to the Christianity as the anarchism, but part of it is also recognizing that a lot of people are not where you're at. I mean, they're in different places. A lot of people voted for Trump in 2016 who truly believed that Trump was one of their people, that he was going to make America great again, or whatever that means, that he was going to bring back something like the free republic. I think that was nonsense, but there are people who believe that. And so part of it is willing to just listen to that perspective and say, Dan, unless you want to be 100% isolated from your fellow human being, then you're going to have to be willing to listen to some people who you don't totally agree with, you don't totally accept, but they're not the worst people in the world. At least they're not communists. I mean, they may have beliefs that are strange to you at this point, but at least they're not, you know, crazy. At least not totally crazy. For example, there is a gentleman I will not name out of respect who's been interacting with me in the last few days. And this particular guy seems like a pretty cool guy. Now, he is someone who works in the system. I won't say more than that. He is someone that participates and probably voted for a Republican or a conservative or something, thinking the Republicans are looking out for him. But who am I to judge that? Who am I to say, well, that's crazy, you're stupid? I'm not going to do that. What I'm trying to do these days, even though I do cast aspersions, I know that, but what I'm trying to do is find people who at least can, I don't know, at least find people who can meet me on relatively common ground. I don't know that I'm going to convince people that the government is a monster and that that monster wants you dead. I don't think I'm going to convince people of that. But I can at least find people who say, well, free speech, for example. Free speech is something worth defending. Whatever else we're going to say about America, no matter how shitty it might get, free speech is something we should stand up for. I think I can find people who will admit that the right of self-defense cannot and should not be infringed. That every living thing by nature of existence has a right to defend itself, and that includes human beings. And the right to defend yourself as a human being doesn't mean paying taxes to cops and armies. It means the right to go down to a gun store and purchase a firearm without registration, without background check, just go buy a gun and go home. And you'd say, well, Dan, what if people don't have a 7-day waiting period, they're going to go out and harm people? And I would say, fucker, that's going to happen anyways. That happens in England. In England, they got all kinds of laws against gun ownership, and people still die. Now, of course, in England, you know, in the UK, they want to take away people's right to have knives, which pretty much tells you the direction that this fucking absurdity heads, okay? Once you take away the guns, they got to start taking away a lot of stuff. But there are these things that people can agree upon. Even if they're not anarchists, there are a lot of things that I think intelligent people can agree upon. I think we can mostly agree, at least those of us who work, that the tax system is bullshit. That it is designed to reward the powerful and to punish the weak. And if it does help poor people, it does it in the most roundabout, anemic way possible. So I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to find common ground. Because otherwise, I might be principled and I might be right, but it's almost of no use to be the most correct person, you know, out in the middle of the desert screaming at the sky. You might be the most virtuous, the most honest, the most truthful to your principles, but if you're all alone in the desert someplace, that's an awfully lonely fucking place to be. And then I have another person I interact with, a really, really brilliant young man, and I won't name his name, but I think he knows who he is. And he pointed out in an email recently that, well, you know, Dan, you kind of have to think of this like the Babylonian captivity. You know, if you've read your Old Testament, following the period of the kings of Israel, David and Solomon, Israel was invaded, and invaded by Assyrians and Persians and Greeks, and ultimately there was a period of what's called the captivity. And there are some great prophets that come out of that period. But one of the things about the prophets of that period, and one of my favorites is Daniel, it's not just for the name's sake, is that they navigate very difficult ethical terrain. On the one hand, you know, Daniel, the prophet, he's living in a tyranny that he considers evil. And on the other hand, he is being told by God and told by his religion to not give up. You know, if you're in that tyranny and if you're in that ugliness, you know, it's easy to say, I'm just going to give up. Or even just to say, I'm going to escape to the desert someplace. I'm just going to go a little farther west. Well, even if there were someplace further to the west, and there isn't, I live in Washington State. Further to the west is Fukushima. Even if there is a place further to the west, that's not necessarily the right answer. Sometimes you got to take a stand in Babylon yourself and just try to live and try to the best of your ability to be a decent person. As an anarchist, I don't really have a practical way to tell the system to go fuck itself. And I will say too that I had a podcast a while back where I compared government to a magical crocodile that starts out kind of small, you know, smallish, sort of like the U.S. government after the adoption of the Constitution or the coup d'etat of 1787. That's what I call it, the coup d'etat of 1787. You can call it the Constitutional Convention. I'm going to call it the coup d'etat and fuck you. But yeah, you probably went and saw Hamilton and you probably masturbated to it afterwards. You probably felt great about it. Fuck you. When our government came into existence after the coup d'etat of 1787 with our wonderful constitution, excuse me, IKEA furniture, the government was still small. You know, it was still relatively small, you know, not really capable of much other than abusing the rights and privileges and property and lives of Native Americans. And so for the most part, and I've covered this topic before, in the 19th century, our government harassed Native Americans. Those were the people that got the brunt of the punishment. It wasn't until the frontier closed and all the Native Americans, for the most part, had either been killed or put on reservations that the crocodile, at that point quite large, started turning its greedy little eyes on everybody. To me, it's no accident that the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913. Listen, no one can pick the date that the frontier closed, but the frontier closed, and then a few years later, essentially, the banking system takes over, and the IRS is created, and everything else after that is history, is fait accompli. You could have predicted it. World War I, World War II, the Cold War, the military-industrial complex just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, all of that was predictable once the Federal Reserve came into existence. So if you're an anarchist like me, you can fight the system in very overt ways. You could form an underground liberation group. You could make plans to try to defeat the government. But the problem is, you're not really at war with the government. You're at war with an idea. If every American decided to not pay taxes, the government would cease to exist. If every American chose to barter with each other outside the system, the government would cease to exist. Would all this be very painful? Yeah, I hate to break it to you. Pain's coming. Pain is coming. It's either going to be by choice or it's just going to hit you over the head. But there's pain that's always coming. Everyone is going to get a little piece of the pain pie. So if the argument is, well, that would be painful, Dan, it would be. But long term, it would be more decent, and the outcome for our own country and the world would be better. We wouldn't be going around the world setting people's homes on fire because we think we know how to tell them how to live. So if you want to know where the battle would be for an anarchist underground army, it really wouldn't be against the government. These people are just fucking employees. Some of them are demonic, but there's a lot of people just getting paid. And they're not all bad people. I mean, they're really not. There are people out there that work for the government who truly believe they're doing the right thing. I know some people like that. I'm not saying I believe in what they're doing, but I know that their heart is in the right place. So if your contention is that, well, I'm going to be a real anarchist and I'm going to form a liberation army and I'm going to go around blowing up police stations and military barracks and banks, well, fine. But in reality, you're not really attacking the right target. The thing is that the magical crocodile isn't so much a person or a place as it is a terrible idea that you can outsource your ethics and your responsibility to somebody else. It is the age-old idea. If you read your Bible in Samuel 1, the Israelites go to Samuel, in essence, Samuel as a prophet, they go to God and say, "We want a king." And so God explains to Samuel, and Samuel explains to the Israelites, "Listen, if you have a king, the king is going to steal your money. The king is going to take your land. The king is going to take your children and put them in the military. The king is going to take your daughters and enslave them. If you ask for a king, you're asking for this. Along with all the glory, along with the empire, you're asking to be abused." And the Israelites demanded it. I mean, they had to have a king. To me, it's not accidental that the first king they ended up with was a dud by the name of Saul. And sure, they got David and they got Solomon, but those are like a few names in the long history of kings of Israel. I'm sure the other kings weren't so great, and we all know of a few in the New Testament that were definitely not so great. So if you're an anarchist and you are at war with the system, you're really at war if you're actually aware. You're really at war with ideas. You're at war essentially with people's willingness to obey. And I, for one, would say pick your battles. I pick mine. I don't expect to live more than another 20 years, so whatever battles I have left are probably very few. But you pick your battles. You pick your topics. I pick free speech. I'm not currently a gun owner because I'm that poor. I have that little money. I don't have a gun because I had to sell my guns to survive. But with respect to free speech and gun ownership, I take those issues seriously. And when I have a chance to speak out on them, I do. With respect to homelessness, though I can't make a practical impact on homelessness myself, given that, I'm circling the drain myself. I try to speak out on the issue of homelessness. I try to explain to people, listen, that real estate economy that is making you so much money, that's hurting people. That's actually impacting people. If you believe the government, there's roughly a 500,000 homeless people in the country, plus or minus. I guarantee fucking to you, there's more than a 500,000 people's worth of shadow inventory being hidden by banks right now. So if we wanted to put a person in a home so they didn't have to freeze next week when the snowstorm hits, we could do it if we actually gave a fuck. And it wouldn't be communism, it would be just a fucking act of kindness. But then that would require people making decisions without asking permission from the government first. And God forbid we make any moral decisions ourselves. So there is the strategy of picking fights, and there's the strategy of trying to deal with it, deal with the system as it is, and it's not easy to figure out what the right answer is. I can't tell you that my choice is the right choice. I know some very decent people in the anarchist movement who choose to be more active, and their activity is more in line with counter-economics, the black market, but they choose to, go a little bit more against the grain. But even in their case, they'll admit that they're not going to go and try to, form an army and try to take over a military base because the outcomes wouldn't be positive, and you can't win that way. You can't. If you want freedom in America, I don't care if you're like me, you might be a libertarian, you might be a small government Republican. If you want freedom in this country, you're not going to achieve it through a vote, and you're not going to achieve it through force. I'm sorry, you're not. Okay? People talk about some coming civil war, and yes, it's possible that our country disintegrates and goes into civil war, but anyone looking forward to that's a really terrible person. A lot of people will die. Millions of people will die. So if you're looking forward to the coming civil war, I don't care what your principles are, you're a scumbag. We should try to make sure that doesn't happen. But if you want to win the war, you have to win the war of ideas. You have to convince your neighbor that maybe the right answer in helping your fellow man isn't paying taxes or voting for some new law, it's taking your life into your own hands. This is kind of a fantasy, and so what I'm about to describe is a fantasy because I do not believe I will have the resources anytime soon to make this happen. But one of the thoughts that occurred to me the other day is that if I ever became wealthy enough to help people, that one place to start, maybe even the simplest and most powerful place to start, would be to go to my church, find out if there's a family in my church that's struggling, and for all intents and purposes, adopt the family. Essentially, tell the pastor, listen, I don't want to be a bee buzzing around their home. I don't want to be a jackass. All I want to do is you're going to help me find a family in our parish that needs the help, and I want to help them. But without strings attached, without speeches, without a lot of bullshit. If they get this help and they fail, then we'll try to help somebody else. Now, that's a bit idealistic, maybe, but that's a place where I could start. You know, I don't have kids. I don't have a wife. So one place where I could start as a human being is in my own parish and say, is there a family that cannot feed themselves this month? Is there a family that can't keep the electricity on? Is there a family that's going to lose their home? Well, at least maybe that's something I can do. It doesn't require a vote. It doesn't require running for office. It doesn't require, you know, violence by proxy, aka democracy. It just requires giving a fuck and having the resources to do something about it. So I don't know, maybe I'll leave this podcast there because I've talked about this issue before and I felt like it was worth reiterating. But if you're an anarchist like me and you're asking yourself, what am I going to do? Well, I don't have answers for you. Part of the ethos of anarchism is believing in self-determination, not isolation, not chaos. If you want chaos, you know, get a government. Believe me. Look around the world today. If you see chaos, don't blame the fucking anarchists. Blame the government. We very much believe in organization that is voluntary, that is non-coercive, that is cooperative. But ultimately, if you're an anarchist, there are things I think you can do. And I believe there are anarchists out there doing it. You can speak your mind. You know, even if all you can do is speak your mind, at least you're exercising free speech. And I think free speech is a lot like a garden. You know, if a garden is left unattended, it goes fallow and it ceases to grow anything. So one way to defend free speech is speak your mind. As you know, go on YouTube. I'm not on YouTube because I was chased off of there. But go on YouTube until you get chased off and speak your mind. Go on SoundCloud. I'm on SoundCloud and I don't know if they shadow ban me or what. And I don't know if they'll ever kick me off. But go on SoundCloud. Create your own website. You know? You know what I did last October? I printed out posters and I pasted them up and down Broadway in Seattle. Some of them were silly as heck. Ridiculous posters. I won't even describe them. If you go to my website and go to the link Vote Freckles, or you can just, I think you just go to votefreckles.com, you'll see some of those posters. The posters, you'll say, well, what do these mean? Well, some of them are just silly. Some of them are just designed to just sort of shake people up. You know, stop staring at your phone. Maybe look at something else. So even if you don't have access to the internet, even if all you can afford is $20 worth of, you know, 8.5 by 11 posters from the print shop a month, 100 of them or 50 of them, if that's all you can afford to do, that is a form of free speech. If you're a gun owner, you can not simply own guns, but be proud of it. You can participate in organizations voluntarily that defend your right to have a gun. If you're somebody who wants to help out the homeless people, you don't need the government's permission to help homeless people. You can do it on your own. Now, I, for one, don't currently have the resources to do much, but if I have the resources in the future, believe me, one of the things I intend to do is to become more involved in helping people who are either homeless or, like I said, potentially people in my parish, in my church, people who are Christians, because, yeah, I guess I got a soft spot for Christians. But you can do things to help your neighbors without the government's permission. You can help feed the homeless. You don't need the government's permission to do that yet. Well, okay, let me correct myself. There are some places in America. I was reading about a chef in Miami a year or so ago that was arrested for feeding the homeless. So let me correct myself. The government does apparently attack people for feeding the homeless. But you know what? If you want to take an action that could get you in trouble, don't attack a cop. Don't shoot up a police station. Don't attack a military base. If you want to be a rebel, go and feed the homeless. Because yes, in many communities now, you could get arrested. You could get cited for feeding homeless people. And I know the argument from the real estate speculators and the shelter pyramid schemers. Well, Dan, my property prices. Well, you fuck. You need to look in the mirror, buddy. Because if you want to know where the homeless people are coming from, yeah. You're part of the fucking problem, not the solution. But yes, if you want to be a rebel, feed the homeless. Help the homeless. Because it's slowly becoming illegal to give a shit about a street person. You know, it's scary enough to think about old people injecting themselves with the blood of children. That's really fucked up. It's scary to think about any place in this country making post-birth abortion legal. That's pretty fucking scary. But it's also scary to think that we are slowly approaching a period where it might be illegal to just voluntarily, on your own, without government's approval, to feed homeless people. How fucked up is that? So that's what I would leave you with, because, you know, I'm trying to become a better person. I am far from perfect. And I think I've been a bit of a zealot at times when it comes to these issues, and that's gotten me in trouble. And I have been lucky enough to have a few people reach out to me, people I respect, like this young man on the East Coast, you know, to remain nameless out of respect. This young man reminded me that, you know what, Dan? You are an anarchist, but you've got to figure out what that means in a situation that's not unlike the Babylonian captivity. You know, to be a Jew in Babylon. Well, that's what it's like to be a Christian anarchist in America these days. You're told you got to believe in the wars, and you think the wars are evil. You're told that you have to defend arbitrary identity rights, but your own identity is becoming, you know, a throwaway thing, a piece of garbage. You're told that Donald Trump wants to pass laws to protect gay people worldwide, but Christians are being murdered every fucking place on planet Earth. And I don't see him passing or arguing for laws to defend the Christians so much. Nor would Hillary have. Oh, by the way, I don't think, you know, this isn't something special to Donald. Maybe he's not even as bad. That's the argument, right? But Hillary would have been worse, probably. I mean, I'll accept that. On the other hand, it's possible that Donald Trump was exactly what the system knew we needed. This is the problem. Don't want to go further there. But if you're a principled person and you're an anarchist or just a libertarian, or maybe you're one of those small government Republicans who gets made fun of during every convention because you supported Ron Paul a couple times, there are things that we can do common ground of liberty. Those things exist. We can defend free speech. We can defend the right to defend yourself. We can defend the right to the right that every human being has almost as an obligation to give a shit about their neighbor. We can defend a chef's right in Miami to feed the homeless. These are things we can still do and we should do. We can choose not to participate in the real estate economy. Yeah, that'll be painful as fuck because there's a lot of free money in the house flipping shelter pyramid scheme. But you can make a moral choice and say, you know what? As much money as there is in flipping these homes and as happy as I am about this, you know, double digit year-on-year growth and value that kind of reminds me of a tumor's growth rate, you know, cancer's growth rate, maybe I can choose to stop participating. Maybe I can just back out of it. But whatever battle you choose, there are battles you can still choose. They don't involve violence. They don't involve civil war. They don't involve murder. But they do involve changing people's hearts and minds for freedom. And I, of course I know I'm an idealist about this. And maybe I'm a utopian. This is the thing. I am a prisoner in the same prison as you. I am just another rat in the cage. I am trying to tell you that maybe there are things we can do as rats that would allow us to have a bit more dignity. But it doesn't mean that any of this is going to be easy or and this is the scarier thought, that we're even going to win. I mean, one of the things about being a Christian is you have to accept some stuff, and you do have to accept some stuff that deals with the end times. And I don't want to go into that right now because I've talked about that before in podcasts. But it's entirely plausible, folks, that you could fight the good fight and stand up for what's righteous and still lose. And one person, a utilitarian, you know, a reincarnation of you know, Jeremy Bentham or John Stuart Mill might say, well, dude, if you can't win, it's stupid to try. And then another person, maybe the reincarnation of Immanuel Kant, might say, well, listen, the principled thing is the principled thing, whether you think you can predict the future or not. There's right and there's wrong. So anyways, on this Tuesday night, 2019, I leave you with this thought, whether you're an anarchist like myself, and I don't mean a bullshit anarchist, but an actual peaceful, nonviolent, non-aggression principle anarchist, or you're a libertarian, or you're one of those rare, small government Republicans who still believes there's a way to achieve that. Or maybe you're a Democrat who believes, you know, more of the ideas of John F. Kennedy and a lot less of the bullshit you hear nowadays. There are battles you can fight. You can protest against these stupid wars. It's still legal to protest. It's not popular. It's really not popular. A lot of people make money directly or indirectly off the military-industrial complex and the security complex, so it is not popular. But you can still form a protest and protest these stupid fucking wars. There are still battles, real battles, that don't involve harming other people that you can choose to fight. And I'm not going to tell you you're going to win, because I honestly don't know or believe or think that I will win. But I would rather lose with respect to these issues than win and become another demon, another member of the horde. Good night.